This is 100 at 100, Research for Our Next Century, a series of episodes highlighting research on the campus to celebrate the 100th birthday of the University of Texas at El Paso. Today we're talking with Professor Max Grossman, Professor of Art History from the Department of Art. Max, welcome.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Tell us a little bit about what you do as an art historian. What's the sort of research that you're really involved in?
Well, I'm a specialist of medieval and Renaissance Italian architecture and urbanism. So I treat the period from about 1250 to 1450, really in that narrow range. And I'm interested in civic architecture, that is the architecture of Italian governments, which is a phenomenon that really is particular to Italy, right? In the rest of Europe, you have mostly dictatorship, right? In Italy, you have a culture of freedom, of republicanism that emerges in the 1100s. And then you have a corresponding architecture that develops in the 12 and 1300s. So you have palaces where voting takes place, where assemblies convene, an entire genre of architecture, of public architecture, that is particular to Italy. That being said, I wrote my dissertation on Siena, which was one of the largest, most populous cities in the Middle Ages and Renaissance in Europe.
Well, when you talk about the relationship between not a dictatorship, but sort of slightly more democratic in those days, perhaps, does that reflect in the range of architectures?
Oh, yeah. Italian city republics, and there were 300 of them, by the way. Of the 11 cities that had over 100,000 people in Europe at that time, 9 were in Italy. Italy had 40% of Europe's population, about half of Europe's wealth. So these cities were immensely rich and important. And the primary reason they were so prosperous is because they had traditions of freedom, traditions of liberty that led to the dissemination of wealth very widely. And so in the realm of architecture, city republics like Siena, like Florence, like Pisa made themselves responsible not only for government palaces, buildings in which assemblies convened, but also fountains, fortifications, mills, the laying of streets and their paving.
And each could show a sort of an individuality.
Yeah. What's interesting is that each city develops its own visual and architectural culture. So Siena is a brick city. The buildings of Siena have their own characteristics that are recognizably Sienese. You go to Florence, Arezzo, Volterra, Pisa, in any direction, and those cities, of course, which were different countries in that period, look completely different.
So what are you specifically into right this minute? Because you have to write papers, I know that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I work primarily on Siena these days. It's really the best documented city republic in Italy from the period that I'm considering. And I asked the question, what did the government of Siena produce architecturally and urbanistically during its entire existence? So the commune of Siena, that is the republic, emerges about 1125. And it comes to an end in 1555, so it's quite a wide span of time. And during that time, the government not only produces architecture in the mother city, right, which becomes quite sophisticated, very, very rich in terms of decoration and ornament, but it also develops architecture in its subject territory. And nobody's ever looked at the architecture of subject territories, or it's very rarely anyway.
So, well, how big did the subject territory of one of these cities exist?
In the case of Siena, we're talking about an area that's roughly 80 by 30 miles and included 299 communities, including castles, monasteries, the castles of seigneurs, and so on and so forth. Florence had nearly 700.
It's a lovely thing because you must have to visit Siena quite often. Lucky man, Max Grossman.
Well, thanks.
Professor of Art History, Department of Art, University of Texas at El Paso. You're listening to 100 at 100, Research for Our Next Century, a celebration of the 100th birthday of the University of Texas at El Paso. And my name is Keith Pannell. Thank you.